Let's get started talking about Hamilton again. We're going to conclude our conversation about Hamilton this morning. And I want to conclude it with the one thing that most people know about Hamilton, and that is that he died in a duel against a man named Aaron Burr. I remember being in school and seeing this wood carving that showed them in the duel. It happened in 1804, if I'm not mistaken, July 11th. I looked it up, but I may be incorrect. But Aaron Burr and Hamilton died in a duel. Now, with the characters you're seeing on screen right now, first of all, one of them is me, of course. And the other one is actually the actor who plays George Washington in Hamilton. He is not the actor who plays Aaron Burr. Leslie Odom Jr. plays Aaron Burr. Really great actor. He has that capacity for portraying bigness and smallness from the stage, is what I like to call it. In other words, he can be the center of attention, but he also knows how to be part of the chorus when other people are singing. So, yes, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr had a duel in 1804, and what we know is that Alexander Hamilton died from the duel. Now, he did not die immediately. He died 24 hours later. To me, that's one of the horrifying things about gunshot wounds, is that it can take a long time to die, and that's exactly what happened. Now, I real quick want to touch on dueling. Dueling has actually been around since the Viking days. Basically, if two men got their backs up about something, typically men, although women have dueled before, both with guns and swords. But if two men got upset with one another, they would just say, look, you guys go work this out. You guys go deal with this. We don't want any part of this. You guys go and work this out. And that's what people would do. And they would kill one another with swords and then later with guns. In the late 1800s is when guns became a part of dueling. Now, the interesting thing about a duel is that it is not there to kill the other person. Your goal is not to kill the other person. Your goal is to get satisfaction. Now, you demonstrate that by showing that you are willing to die for your perspective, your honor. That's the thing. It's all about honor. So after the Vikings, and it actually went through Christian times, etc., dueling actually was a thing that the gentry used to solve their issues between one another. And again, the purpose of a duel was not to kill the other person. The purpose of the duel was to demand satisfaction. One of my favorite songs in Hamilton, ha ha ha, every song in Hamilton is my favorite, is the Ten Duel Commandments, which I listened to this morning as I was getting ready, turning on my lights and everything. There are actually protocols for dueling, at least there were then, and dueling was actually illegal when Hamilton and Burr fought in many areas of the country. Dueling was something that came over from England. It was not an American invention, and it was actually practiced for a very, very long time. The idea was, if someone said or did something that you found upsetting, affronted you, maligned your honor, that's the key thing, your honor, and your honor is so important. I'm struck by the joke from Groucho Marx. I can't remember the name of the movie, but Margaret DeMont says, Otis, what are you doing? And he says, I'm fighting for your honor, which is more than you ever did. Ha ha. Anyway, they fought over their honor. People fought over their honor. Now, this ties it all back to something that I discovered years ago. And it's something that I feel a very strong personal attachment to, this idea, because I've seen it played out over and over and over and over again. And that is that human beings, our number one fear, when you ask people, what's your number one fear? They always like to say it's speaking on a stage. Well, I'm a professional speaker. That's not my number one fear. In fact, if there was a stage, I'd want to get on it right now. I like being on stage. To me, I get to play the audience like an orchestra conductor gets to play the orchestra, you know? And so I enjoy it. The number one fear we have is not professional speaking. The number one fear we have, embarrassment. Embarrassment. Let me say that again. More than likely, the number one fear, if you trace things back in your mind, is embarrassment. Why? Because it goes back to a deeply ingrained cultural, not cultural really, it's more evolutionary. And that is that if you upset the herd, you're going to get tossed out of the herd. You get tossed out of the herd, you are fair game for predators and robbers, etc., and people who want to do you ill. So staying in the group is paramount. We don't really talk about that, but it's true. It's how we feel. We want it, need to be part of the group, and we're afraid of being ostracized. Disney did this wonderful movie several years ago called Monkey Island. I think it's probably on Disney Plus. If you have it, check it out. If not, search it out. But it talks about how these monkeys live in various parts of the tree, and there's this huge tree. And it's true, it's a documentary, so it's one of their nature films. But they show that you get to the higher levels of the tree, which is where the sweeter berries and the sunshine are, and fewer predators, of course. The higher you go up, but the only way you get there is by grooming other monkeys at higher levels. And as I saw this, I thought, oh my gosh, this is so much like humans. We want to be at the highest possible level in the herd, but we don't want to be ostracized from the herd. And we're afraid by being embarrassed, we're going to be ostracized. One of the things that struck me about Hamilton when I first saw the play here at the Arts Center in Miami was that there's not one duel in Hamilton. There are actually three. Hamilton's son, Philip, died on the very same field that Hamilton died. In fact, it's in Weehawken? It's in New Jersey. And it was a common place for people to have duels. They would arrive by boat so that no one would see them coming in by carriage. They would come in separate boats because, again, you were not supposed to do this. And the people who brought the guns, the pistols, to the battlefield, and that was another thing. The weapons had to be equally matched. And so when they came to the battlefield, they had to sneak the guns. They actually paid some men to hide the guns inside some other stuff and didn't even tell the men what was in there, so that if there was an investigation later, the men had plausible deniability, saying that they did not bring guns. Well, what they did was they brought a bunch of other stuff and the guns were hidden in there. So there are three duels in Hamilton. Hamilton loses his son Philip to a duel. There's a duel between General Lee, and I can't remember the other person's name. And then, of course, the famous duel between Hamilton and Burr. And what were they fighting for? Remember, were they fighting for ideals? Were they fighting for the country? No, they were fighting because they were embarrassed. You embarrassed me. You said something I didn't like. You maligned my honor. You diminished me in the eyes of other people. And for that, I'm going to stand on a battlefield, or a field rather, and I'm going to point a weapon at you. And if you don't recant, then I'm going to shoot you, and you better shoot me first. Now, most duels never happened. Most duels never happened. That was part of the reason for having a second in a duel. Not only was it someone who could make sure you were fairly treated and fairly tended to if anything happened to you, but the second's job was, let's say me and somebody, and I don't want to think of anybody real because I don't want to have an argument with them, but me and SpongeBob, okay? Me and SpongeBob are upset, and SpongeBob has said something that makes me embarrassed. He has diminished my honor in the view of other people. Well, the first thing that would happen is I would go and get a second, probably my buddy Bill or Brian, and then SpongeBob would go and get, and I can't, Squidly? Is that his name? Anyway, he would go and get his second. Now, the first thing would be that the seconds would meet before the duel even began or was even conceived of. They would sit together and they would go, you know what? He said this, and if he will apologize, then there needs to be no duel. And almost every duel was solved. It's almost like a, think of it like suing someone. Most things are settled out of court, okay? Most duels were settled out of the battlefield. And interestingly enough, even when the people were basically lined up ready to fight, the seconds would come together one more time and try and resolve this. I was thinking about that when you have an issue with someone, wouldn't it be great to have a second? Oh man, you like when that dry cleaner kept my shirts for 3 months and didn't, when I went to pick them up, kept telling me they'd be ready in 15 minutes, and I'd give them 2 weeks, and they'd tell me 15 minutes when I would show up. And finally, they charged me for the shirts, right? But the only way they would give them back to me, I demanded they give me the shirts back. I would have loved to have had a second. That's, you know, I would have loved to have said, I'm going to meet you on the field of battle tomorrow unless my friend and your son or whatever can work this out to our satisfaction. But we don't have that system anymore. I guess we do. They're called lawyers. That's what lawyers do. Their job is to try and make things right. So the interesting thing is they demand satisfaction, which means that they are not satisfied. In other words, your actions, your words have left me not satisfied. And therefore, I demand that you satisfy me. Now, the interesting thing about dueling, when was the last time you heard somebody having a duel? Somebody is probably going to bring that up. I see here, Fizz says a lot of people use seconds on Facebook. Yeah, people are clamoring to be a second on Facebook. That's really great. Dueling did not go out of common practice because it was legislated. And this is the point I want to get to. There's two main points today. If you're willing to kill somebody because they embarrassed you, there's something wrong with you. There's a great line here after the duel between Lee and the other person. I can't remember his name. Anyway, George Washington, who you see on the screen here, says, my name's been through a lot. It can take it. Most of us are so defensive of our names, of our political parties. Let me say that again. Of our political parties. We just get riled and upset. You know what? We're children. We are children. Our name's been through a lot. We need to be able to not get embarrassed, not get upset when someone has an opinion contrary to us or if someone is even contrary about us. And I've been through them all. So the main thing I want you to take away from this is that dueling did not end because it was legislated. It ended because younger noblemen began to laugh at the old men who would threaten one another with a duel, who were so tied up into their honor that they were willing to kill or be killed. That's when dueling began to go away. In other words, it wasn't legislature, it was laughter. People laughed at these people who wanted to fight in duels, and it was because of that derision that dueling went away. I would like to begin to laugh at myself and other people who are quite so sensitive. I know I can be. I've been told that many times. I'm getting much, much better over the years, especially if it's somebody, though, who is really close to me. I find that I'm quite sensitive, but I don't duel anymore. I don't want to duel anymore. There's nothing to be regained. And I think about it in relationship to fights in relationships. That dueling is very much about, you said this, you hurt me, now let's fight until I am satisfied. And nobody ever wins. Nobody ever wins. That's a quote from the movie, what was that Patrick Swayze movie? Roadhouse, that's right. All right, everybody, it's almost time for us to get into our complaint-free meditation group. We've had several new people join recently. You need to come and check out what all the fuss is about. And join us live or on demand. I know that when Tammy's not working, she meditates or when Tammy is working, she watches us, and so does Trish Young, Trish Parr, and several others. So check out Complaint Free Meditation if you would. Good morning and happy Thursday. I'm going backwards here. Jennifer Burt says, love starting my day with y'all. We love having you here too. Amu Moses is here. Good to see you. Fizz Anthony says, yes, a lot of people use seconds, as I said. Hola from Jeanette Cordoza. Anything you want to close out with, anybody? Because I want to make sure that I have plenty of time to get our complaint-free meditation group together. Oh, let me show you this. And I'm actually going to do a talk about this. This is a painting done by Mike Nagy, who is with us this morning. Now, I've enhanced it a little bit, so it doesn't quite look exactly the same way he sent it to me. And there's actually, you're looking at a sliver in the middle. It's actually a vertically oriented portrait style painting. But it's really pretty, and we're going to talk about it this morning and about how it's sort of, he sent me a story. We're actually not going to go deep into the story. but we're going to meditate with this beautiful painting that Mike did. So if you've got images or things that you'd like for us to talk about, be sure and post them in this group. Don't email me, don't message me, just put them here so that everybody can see it. Nice work, Mike, says Liz. Yeah. So Liz is part of our complaint-free meditation group, and we'll see you all live in there in about 9 minutes. I want to conclude with one of the best books I think I've ever read, The Four Agreements by, oh my gosh, all I can think of is Lin-Manuel Miranda, but I know that's not right. Of course it's not. It's Don Miguel Ruiz. Anyway, The Four Agreements, which are really, it's a great book. And if we can practice what it preaches, we'll all change. Thank you, Liz, for posting the link for complaint-free meditation. That's how we get people to come and check it out and join us. That's why we're getting so many new people. Thank you. Anyway, the first of the four agreements is don't take anything personally. Wow. Wow. Not easy. I find my blood pressure can go up just reading people's contrary posts in Facebook. That is an evolutionary response to protect ourselves and keep us part of the herd. You know what? It's not necessary anymore. The mark of maturity is to let things slide. I read a story yesterday. I am going to conclude with this. It was about Nelson Mandela telling a story of eating in a restaurant a couple of decades ago when he was the president of South Africa. And in walked a man, and a white man, and the man sat down, and Mandela invited the man to come over and join him at the table. And the man did, and was very, very nervous, and you could see that. And all of Mandela's bodyguards got nervous, because a man acting this nervous might have malicious intent. But he didn't. He finished his meal, and he got up and left. I'm sorry, I'm just emotional about this story. The story goes then that one of the security guards asked Mandela why the man was so nervous if he had met him. And he said, yes, he was one of my guards when I was in prison. And he said, why was he so nervous? He said, after they would torture me and beat me, and they would not give me water for days. That was one of their tortures. He said, whenever I would ask for water, that guard would walk over and from his high perch, urinate into my cell and on my head. And he said, I'm sure that now that I'm the president, that man was panicked as to what I would do with him. But he said, I don't have time for grudges. He let it pass. We may not duel today with pistols, but we duel on Facebook and we duel in court. And we do it so often simply to protect our honor because we don't want to be embarrassed. Today, do what you can to let things slide and notice when you get upset and realize, what would Mandela do? What would Nelson Mandela do? Make it a beautiful day. You've already made it a beautiful day for me by joining me. Join me again tomorrow and invite your friends and family by sharing this page. Like my page and then share the Daily Jumpstarts. Just click share right now. All right, everybody, part of our complaint-free meditation group, 5-minute warning. I'll see you in 5 minutes. Time for us to get centered, cool, and relaxed. And for the rest of you, join me tomorrow. And I have got, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do another series. I'm going to do them on the Stages of Life by Thomas Cole. All right, everybody. Love you. Enjoy today. I'm going to go open the door and Teddy's probably going to be sitting there looking at me like, what happened, man? Are you breaking up?